So the title of the talk tonight is When Everything Goes to Pieces, We Don't. Want to start with a story from the tradition, and really the tradition of the huge resource of the Pali texts of 2,500 years ago is such a resource, but also amazing stories. So there was a woman called Patachara, who was a mother, and she had three children and a husband, and she really had a good life. And then, kind of unfortunate accidents, one after another, all her family were killed, including a brand new baby. And it happened really, really fast. And she came to the Buddha rather end of her strength in a desperate situation. And in her case, unlike other cases, the Buddha didn't talk to her about compassion and didn't give her a simple way of looking at the situation in any way. He gave her a very deep teaching. And clearly, he saw her potential or he saw her power. He basically said, Who are you to know why you were born, where your children came from, and where they've gone to now? You know nothing. We know nothing about why we're here and where we're going. And he basically sort of shot her into a universal place in one sentence, one or two sentences. She became a nun and an enlightened teacher. And by the way, all the old great arhants, the great teachers, were not just men, just so that you know. Her enlightenment was quite interesting. Because it's something maybe you can pick up from. It was so simple. Sometimes awakening comes from the simplest thing, not from the great complicated thoughts, but some tiny little. What was happening was she was washing her feet. And as she was washing her feet, she was pouring water on her feet. And she looked at the water and she realized. All water goes downhill. So it's obvious, no? Something in such a simple, obvious thing, all water goes downhill. That was a moment of total enlightenment for her. It's like everything happens by itself. And I'm telling you that story because, in her case, the big picture was the power that made her come to terms with terrible tragedy. And we're in tragedy these days and a great deal of pain. And one aspect is it doesn't make sense. Why do people need to do that to each other? Why do people need to kill each other and cause huge suffering to each other? And every time we come to some simple answer, it doesn't satisfy, it doesn't work. And we remember what we were saying before also a quote from the Buddha, that life has no protector, that life has to be left, that it has nothing of its own. In other words, the big picture is there as something behind everything. The Indians have a great kind of way out of not solving this problem and calling it karma. So it's really a great, of course, the simple view of karma isn't simple at all. It's very deep, but it's used as a kind of a way, okay, it's karma. So that's some sort of answer, shortcut, not to deal with the problem. But there is a deeper place there, which is really kind of something that we need to slowly kind of absorb and learn and feel, which is the experiences that happen, including the most difficult experiences, are the result of conditions over which I have no control. Every experience we have, the smallest experience, the thought that's going through your mind right now, it's coming from all kinds, a million conditions, which we can't control. Every moment, in a way, needs the whole universe for this moment to be like it is. So it turns the mind a bit. But if you think about it, give it some space. Every moment needs the whole universe to be the way it is for this moment to be the way it is. So it helps us to kind of go back a little bit and kind of feel the big picture, which can be a real nachama for us, as it is for Patachara. And it's something we are learning and practicing here, and I want to talk about that a little bit. The first of the Four Noble Truths of the Buddha is that we experience dissatisfaction in life. Having been born in a body, we're bound to experience suffering at some point. It's just the name of the game. The Buddha never said, by the way, that life is suffering. This is a misunderstanding of the actual statement that he made. He didn't say life is suffering. He said our relationship to life will have some suffering in it, but it will also have joy and have everything else. Sukha and dukkha, joy and pain will be there. You could say oi and joy. There'll be oi and there'll be joy. That's what the Buddha said. So life isn't suffering, life is life. We, as the subject, as a person, as a point of view, will experience suffering and say, oh, life is big catastrophe. But it's not like that. A mountain is only heavy if we try and lift it. A thorn, a kotz is only sharp if we hold it. Otherwise, it's beautiful. So it's important to kind of allow this truth, and we've said it in different ways, both Simi and myself in this retreat, that vulnerability is a natural part. And we can't say, well, everything will be great in life except for all the problems. Life is the problems. There is the problems. We have to face that truth. But it's important to understand that the problems of life are not just a kind of a big weight. The problems of life are our invitations. It's there that we work spiritually. Spiritual life is not about just a kind of chasing rainbows, which we will never catch anyway. It's about seeing really where we are and not seeing the limitations that we feel and the problems that we feel as the end of the story. They are the beginning of the story. They are the raw material with which we work, because they bring, just like with Patachara, this story, they bring the challenge. What is this life which I have to leave, or which other people leave? What is going on? What is this? And this fundamental, the Buddha said, you've got, with big tragedy, you've got two choices, misery or search. Umlalut or chipus. Have a choice. Even little tragedy also, actually, in small things. Difficulty, misery or chipus, search. We choose. So it's there that actually we develop, and we're hearing it in the groups, and that many of you are sharing in the groups how looking at difficulty with new eyes not only helps us to be with the difficulty, but helps us to be bigger people. And someone today was saying that because of physical pain, just going through it, opening it, understanding it, meeting it fully, instead of trying to deal with it, creating an opening in the person, a bigger person that is able to hold experience differently. And it doesn't matter what the difficulty is. It can be physical pain, that you look at it and you see it and you see it's moving and you see what you do with it and you see what's underneath it and you see the layers of fears and you see what the body is saying and so on. Or it can be anything. It can be anger, a moment of anger, which if you go inside it and you look at it, you'll see the layers, the fear and the protection and the history and the stories and that you've picked up in your life. And something opens up. So the meeting difficulty is one of the three characteristics, and it's a very traditional teaching called three characteristics or three seals, chotmim. Three seals is all the Tibetan world, but three characteristics will be three, how do you call them? Ofyonim. Ma'afyanim, thank you. Ma'afyanim, I keep forgetting that word. And it's a really important teaching, and it's what we've been doing here all these days. In addition, right from the very first day that we came here, we were using our consciousness, our awareness, to look directly at our experience. And where we have, through the seeing our experience, we have some sense of freedom, something appears, something, understanding arises. It's very often of these three. So the first is dukkha or dissatisfaction, is what I just mentioned. The second, anicca, is about the fact that everything passes by, that things seem stuck, but if we look carefully, nothing is stuck. Everything is moving. Everything changes to something else. The conditions change and our experience changes. The conditions change again and our experience changes again. the conditions change again, and our experience, and it just keeps going on like that. And that's why we use words like letting go. Letting go means we let something go because it's already going. No one's here, neither Simi or myself, has said, fight the experiences, stop them, destroy them, finish them. No, let them go because they're already going. Just don't stop them going. They may come back. Okay. Visitors, we talked about that. They are visitors. They come and go. A moment of fear, a moment of unpleasant stories and memories, thoughts that we don't like. It changes. It passes. It changes. It changes its nature, changes what it says. Emotions are like water. They flow. They won't go one to another. And it's really good to kind of experience that. We experience it in the awareness. We experience the energy body. The body is full of energy and life. And we experience, yeah, it's flowing, it's moving, the vibration of life in the fingers and the hands and the body and all, everything is moving and flowing. The mind, everything is flowing and moving like air, like water, like wind. The thoughts are like just wind passing by. And there's also a lot of help that we get from that we don't have to carry everything so heavy, because if we watch it carefully, it goes by itself. And then we can say, okay, later on, I saw you. Bye-bye. The visitor that knocked on the door. Yeah, great. Sorry, I don't have a seat for you. So there's nowhere for you to sit down. Sorry, you can go, but welcome and goodbye. It's true that we often hold on to things, and sometimes we hold on to our pain. And we just understand that we do that, it's okay. We hold on to pain because that's the story. And in a way, we need a story. So we often hold on to the pain as our story. And as something we feel we need to experience or we have to carry. And it's very often with psychological patterns like to be a victim. Very strong psychological pattern, or guilt. Very strong psychological pattern, and then we feel we actually need to hold on to it. And if I don't hold on to it, who am I? Where am I? It's we feel. But still, the truth is stronger than that. And if we kind of look carefully at that, we will see, wait a minute, actually, I'm fine. I can let it go, and I'm fine. I'm better than fine. It's dropping. Forgiveness is just about dropping the past. And how much lightness comes in the place of holding stories. So that's anicca. And the third is anatta, which is, again, about our experience being basically visitors. Things come because of the world. Visitors appear. Visitors turn up. And it's kind of it's just an insight that we don't own everything so much. We don't actually have ownership of the thoughts come and go because of the conditions of the world that make a thought. So we say my thought or my view or my idea or my, but a little bit, looking at it carefully, we can get a little bit of a sense that things are happening by themselves. And that can be a relief. Things are happening by themselves. Conditions create an experience. Okay, I don't really have to have full ownership, ba'alut, of everything. I can let life kind of come through me. Life can come through me. I don't have to hold it or hold everything. Those three qualities, characteristics, seals, bring more freedom and more space. And we find ourselves less busy, struggling, because there's more space. We have more space. We watch things, the difficulty arising and passing. We watch experience coming and going, and we watch things happening by themselves. And this space gives us a place with which to be steady in the middle of difficulty. There is a very famous Zen story about this. A passenger comes to a river and he wants to cross. And there's a boatman. And the passenger says to the boatman, "Will you take me across?" The boatman says, "Sure." So it goes on the boat. They go start going across the river. And another boat comes and knocks this one. And the boatman starts to shout and scream. You look where you're going. Your boat bashed into my boat. Look where you're going. And then they went on. And then another boat came down the river and also hit this one. No one inside, just an empty boat coming. So the boatman didn't say anything. So the passenger said, "Well, you shouted at the other. Why didn't you shout at this boat?" And the boatman said, "Well, there's nobody to shout at." And it's a good story. Can we be like an empty boat? Nobody to shout at. Maybe not all the way, but more space we have, the more inner space we have, the more open we are, the more allowing and less self, the more we cannot be shouted at. Just doesn't go anywhere. There's nobody there to shout at. So this is equanimity, and it's the fourth of the Brahma Viharas. So we've been practicing the Brahma Viharas in this retreat. Metta, kindness, friendliness, love. Karuna, compassion. Mudita, sympathetic joy, or joy along with the joy of life, and upekkha, which is equanimity. And it's kind of needed, the fourth, because it gives a ground to the others. We can love more easily if we have a base, a place to stand. If we feel steady, then the love can keep going. Otherwise, we can get ourselves, we get swept away, we get confused, we get lost. The heart is loving and so on, but we don't know where we are. Something is needed, the fourth is needed to allow the other three to be in balance. And the fourth is the big picture. It's exactly what the Buddha said to Pachacara. Look at the big picture. And we really need the big picture at this time. It really is important that when we go out into this life, these challenges, that we have a ground to stand on. The ground to stand on is not a kind of a safe space where we shut the door and turn on Netflix and, you know, close everything. The safe space, the ground that we have, is that sense of being there in the middle of life with a big picture, understanding the way things are. So, for example, I'll give you, if we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can look in a physical mirror in the eyes, but we can look in the psychological mirror, is what we've been doing here. We're looking at ourselves and we see our big life. And we see ourselves as a child one time playing in the garden, and we see ourselves learning and studying and connecting with people and having a big life, and we see and the love grows. We say, oh, you know, the love, the metta, the kindness to ourselves when we see what a big life, what a beautiful person we are. That's metta. We look at ourselves and we also see the difficulty and the pain that comes up. And our response is compassion. Karuna. And we look at ourselves and we see ourselves playing and happy and dancing and enjoying life, and our response to ourselves is mudita, is joy. But we look at ourselves and we see in our eyes the universe. We see behind our eyes such a big being, and our response is upekkha, equanimity. Happened to me one time, quite a magical event. Many years ago, I was found myself at Mata Amritananda Mai's ashram in Kerala. So you may have heard about her. She's the hugging mother. Yeah. So that was really the beginning. She just was building her ashram at the time. And I just found myself there. And so there's a whole room full of people. We all got hugged one by one. But when my turn came to hug, to be hugged, I looked in her eyes. And I really, really was knocked out. I saw in her eyes the huge infinite sky with the stars. I was in shock. I'm not usually into magic kind of too much, but I was, it just, and I spent the whole day crying. I just was overwhelmed. I got hugged quite a few times after that. And klum, nothing happened. Maybe I got the juice, but anyway, nothing happened. I also saw in England and so on, and I even sent my daughters to be hugged, and they said, what's all this? What's the point of this? This is a big atsaga, nothing is pointless. And I understand very well. But for me, something very, it happened like that. So it's just worth understanding that we've been working in this retreat with awareness and with the Brahma Viharas. Maybe the dog is either saying yes or no. Agree or don't agree. But we've been working with awareness all the time. And including some of the things that the three characteristics, talking about letting go, talking about things happening by themselves, talking about less control, practicing less control, practicing walking out on the earth and with the trees, practicing watching visitors coming and going, and all the time building a capacity to hold oi and joy. So the equanimity that is built through awareness is exactly through seeing our inner world that is a big world, that is aware, that is awake. In there, there'll be waves of pain and yep. there'll be waves of emotions, of course. But underneath, what's behind the emotions? And I hope that slowly, slowly in this retreat, we are actually going to the sources of things, not just the emotional waves that take us of whatever, of anger, of fear, of all the feelings that we've been having since October. They're all legitimate. They're all there. We don't need to deny anything. We don't need to close them down, but we do need to see that they come and go because of conditions, and there's something underneath that, that we can be underneath all of that, the sources, and that's in awareness in our big heart. And it's like resting in that place, and it is through the Brahma Viharas themselves, it's through kindness as a way of living for ourselves and for other people, and awareness as a way of being open and allowing life. So it's, if we ask ourselves, what is it that I want to kind of take out from this retreat that's in that world of equanimity, of steadiness, of being able to hold the ois and the joys. It's not about being in illusion. We're not trying to kind of cover things and saying it's all love and peace, just be loving, be peaceful. We're not, it's not about that. It's not about trying to chase rainbows. But it is much more about the, what we can get from the, from this aspect, what the equanimity aspect, is that experience becomes workable, that we can work with this experience. It's not totally overwhelming, and I have nothing to do. I just have to kind of be drowned. It doesn't mean that we've dealt with everything and that we've sorted it out and we are absolutely happy and we have no problem. It's not that. And that's, we can't expect that. But what we can maybe expect is that experiences, difficult or joyful, become a little more workable. We can work with them a bit more. They're not just kind of stuck on us and there's nothing we can do. We can work with them. We may not solve them, we may not, but there's something a little bit, experience is workable. And difficulty doesn't destroy us because of that. We'll experience difficulty. We don't know what it will be, but there is a place where it doesn't destroy us. We can work with it. And it's not just the eye of the storm, Eina Sera. It's really being in the storm. So it's not a bad thing to be sometimes Eina Sera. I don't say that you should never look at Netflix when you want to have a break from all the disasters of life and have a good movie. I mean, I'm just joking. Don't think, you know, sometimes to be in the Einasera, the stop the storm, and I just turn on a movie. It's really fine. And sometimes the wisest thing is to find a place in the eye of the storm and say, I'm taking a break from all of this. It's really okay. And it's a wisdom, actually, to know what we can meet and what is too much for us to meet. But still, the place to stand is in the storm. But it doesn't destroy us. We are in the storm, but we can hold it. It's something to work with. Sometimes in the eye of the storm is also when things get really crazy and things get too difficult, we also have learned here something about compassion. When we can't handle stuff, when things are too difficult, we don't have a meditation practice that's strong enough to deal with everything and so on. We feel overwhelmed, but compassion is kind of a default. It's worth remembering. I can't cope with this, but what I can do is just have compassion in my heart. It's all too big for me. Just remember it as a kind of a place of a default place when things get really difficult. Go to compassion. It's like, I can't deal with this, but okay. Chemla, it's there. It will help me go through it. It will help someone else go through it as well. The equanimity and this practice that we're doing goes very, very deep. And it's not something that is relevant right now. I'm not going to talk about it much now. But it goes to a very deep place. And the place, and I'll just give like one or two small hints of that place. We can't be hurt by the world if we are the world. If the world and us are one thing, then nothing can hurt. Who can hurt who? What can hurt what? So I mentioned Nirvana the other day as being absorption, being going back into the world, and you can, whatever it means to you is fine, but I think you should take a little hint that we're talking about a spiritual journey here, which goes very deep. And whatever it means to you, it's fine, but it also is relevant to not being hurt, because if we're one with the world, then the world can't hurt us. Life and death will happen. But where do we go? We're the world. The world is looking out of our eyes. So it does go to that place, a sense of life living through us. And everything that I've said and everything that we've done in this retreat and all the capacities that we're building, and maybe it's something we can talk about more tomorrow, it isn't just for us. I think that we also have a kind of responsibility, and I think maybe we should talk a bit more about this in some way tomorrow. We have a responsibility to help others where we can, but we need to be steady and kind and aware to be able to help others. So there is some aspect here that is, we should just be aware of that we're building capacity, and very naturally this capacity is not just for us. Okay, thank you. So we'll just take a couple of minutes of quiet.